Blog Talk Radio.
About you, Mutt, because I hacked into your laptop and I've been watching you. That's how I found out what a big Katy Perry fan you really are.
Oh no.
Roll the tape.
Don't roll the tape.
People, today is Tuesday, March 13th, 2018, and you are Making the List. I am your host, Pat McNeil. This is episode 8 of Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast. Today we are set to decide on the top 7 professional wrestling movies of all time. Our telephone number is 515-605-9345. The email address, of course, is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Our PW Torch Livecast chat room is open right now, and of course you can send in your Twitter questions for us today to Real Pat McNeil. We are expecting our guest, Justin Credible, a.k.a. PJ Polacco, to call in any second now, but right now we're going to start talking about the 7 greatest pro wrestling movies of all time. We came up with a starter list. Now, these can include documentaries. Yes, they can. They can include actual theatrical classics like, Body Slam with Roddy Piper and Dirk Benedict. They can, I suppose, include cartoons like the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery or independent productions like the Wrestling Road Diaries. It doesn't matter. We need to know your top 7 right here, right now. Call us 515-605-9345 and let us in on what you want here. As a matter of fact, while we wait for our guests to arrive, we can go ahead and get started. Let's go to the telephones. We're starting off with, I believe, Cumberland, Maryland, where Ryan from Cumberland is standing by. Hold on. Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland, you are making the list, sir. Hello.
Hello. First movie I'd like to submit would be Grunt.
Grunt. Grunt, the wrestling movie. Yes. A short description of the plot for people who haven't seen it.
I remember a guy loses his head because I saw it when I was real young.
Okay.
So that's the highlight of the movie.
Yeah, they also had some classic cameos from wrestlers of the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah,
okay, that's definitely one of them. All right, let's see. Okay, well, I can put you on hold until the guest shows up, or you can keep going.
Okay, my second submission isn't actually a movie, but it is a 1-hour TV show, which might qualify as a movie.
Okay, listening.
There's an episode of Little House on the Prairie that featured Big John Gurney becoming a pro wrestler.
That's true. That was
Is that how wrestling was in Minnesota at that time, is they would trick the local town folk in believing they could be pro wrestlers, so the townspeople would bet the church offerings on the matches and possibly squander the church funds on wrestling matches?
Well, not necessarily the church funds, but it was kind of how the carny system operated. You know, you bring in your champion. You bring in your champion. Then you try to set. What they did there is they brought in their champion, whoever that was, and they had a quote unquote tournament with the locals, and the local star was played by Merlin Olsen, Jonathan Garvey, Merlin Olsen. And Merlin Olsen beat the guy that was the setup guy, the former champion. They were going to have the match, and they decided, well, as a result of Jonathan Garvey beating the former champion, Jonathan Garvey deserves a shot at the world title. And, you know, and of course, not only did you have money changing hands, but obviously you had people paying for the tickets and all that. And I don't think it's completely inaccurate. I mean, you know, it's television. It's 140 years ago, but that's a simple version of the con. Yeah, I mean, they were making tours. They stopped in a town for a couple weeks, and I guess got all the money they could. And I suppose if Jonathan Garvey had been a good enough shooter, he would have they would have taken him on the road with them and dropped off whoever the ex champ was. Of course, that's not going to work because whoever the champion was enough of a hooker or shooter or would cheat just enough just to make sure that that didn't happen. So.
Okay. And my final submission is actually not a movie, but a better 1 hour wrestling episode, which would be Half Nelson from The Incredible Hulk. And my question is, was there any wrestlers that actually were the wrestlers in that movie, or did they just have actors playing those wrestlers?
I don't know. But thanks to my Google machine, I'm sure I could look that up. Let's see. And obviously, Lou Ferrigno would be the guy that you'd want to avoid in that situation. Although he was a bodybuilder, he wasn't really a pro wrestler. Let's see. Okay.
And he was offered a big contract by Vince McMahon in the 80s to feud with Hulk Hogan, according to his autobiography.
Well, but if it's in his autobiography, it absolutely has to be true. Okay, so let's go back, courtesy of IMDb, to that moment, although I don't know that it's going to qualify. All right. So the writers include, it's show developed by Kenneth Johnson, who wrote $6 Million Man, among other things. All right, so this is Baltimore, David Benley. Oh, Hardboiled Haggerty's in it. He's playing Gregor. Some guy playing a midget wrestler. Elaine Joyce, I don't think she was playing a wrestler. I don't know who these other guys are. So, yeah, I think Hardboiled Haggerty would be the big wrestling star out of that episode. Let's see, this other guy was on Falcon Crest, so I doubt he was I'm going to go out on a limb and say he wasn't really much of a pro wrestler. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, usually, it's like the Matlock episode, you usually get one or two actual wrestlers to play along. On that one, I remember Dick Butkus was the guy playing a wrestling star, which was funny on multiple levels. Yeah, and of course, you've forgotten even though I think they're TV episodes and they shouldn't count, you've forgotten the one with Scott Bakula on Quantum Leap taking on Terry Funk.
Yeah, but I don't recall Hardboiled Haggerty. That doesn't ring a bell. That might be a little bit before my time.
It might very well be before your time. This is the 70s we're talking about. Hardboiled Haggerty. Usually they would use guys who were based out of the West Coast, which is why, for example, Freddie Blassie would get on television shows a lot back in the old days.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call and answering those important questions.
Well, no problem. Thanks a lot, Ryan. Say, Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you people at 515-605-9345. We're definitely awaiting the arrival of Justin Credible, and sent him the phone, and have tried both the phone numbers we have for him and have sent him messages. He has a, believe it or not, he has a, there we go. Yeah, there's a documentary coming out about his comeback and the struggles he has gone through in professional wrestling, and we definitely want to hear from him. So, Hardboiled Haggerty, Don Stansuk, he was a stuntman. He was a big part of the AWA, as I recall. Yes, he was. Let's see, World Tag Team Champion in the 60s. Won the U.S. title from Gene Kaniski back in the 60s. And went to the NWA and went to the Vancouver territory, and was Kaniski's tag team partner. won the Hawaii title. Yeah, and then sort of retired and went into acting and was on pretty much any time a wrestler was needed, including the Love Boat, including Get Smart. Yeah, he's there. He was Gregor Potemkin, obviously a Russian star. Okay, let's look at some of the other movie classics that we probably should be discussing here. I'm generally considering anything over 60 minutes to be fair game. So Grunt, the wrestling movie counts, and we'll go look up the details of that in a moment. Rocky III, it's kind of on the fence. There is wrestling action in there, but the bulk of it is based around boxing. Even though there's a memorable scene where Sylvester Stallone as Rocky faces has a boxing versus wrestling charity match against the wrestling champion Thunderlips, who was played by Hulk Hogan, and that probably made Hulk Hogan the biggest star in professional wrestling back in 1983 after that movie came out and enabled him to become the WWF champion. Let's see, there's Beyond the Mat, which is another documentary covering Terry Funk and Mick Foley and Jake the Snake Roberts. Hitman Hart, Wrestling with Shadows. The aforementioned Body Slam with Hulk Hogan, with Roddy Piper, the Tonga Kid, and Dirk Benedict. Nacho Libre, where Jack Black fought Silver King. It's just amazing what we have here. We'll have to look at the Grunt, maybe the most influential wrestling movie ever. Of course, the classic No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan with his feud against Zeus, which, of course, happened in professional wrestling later. Yeah, that's great. Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies came out a few years ago. The Last of McGinnis, the Nigel McGuinness documentary, which we interviewed him about at one point. Let's see, I Like to Hurt People, that's another classic. Let's see, the Ric Flair 30 for 30. Man on the Moon, the movie based on Andy Kaufman's life, which involved a lot of Andy Kaufman feuding with Jerry Lawler. And they got Jim Carrey to play Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler to play Jerry Lawler. Go figure. All right, and of course the 2000 classic Ready to Rumble, which it wasn't good, folks. It really wasn't. If you haven't seen it, we'd like to get some good movies on there. Probably the best on there, I'm going to say, is out of the fictional films, is The Wrestler, the 2008 movie Darren Aronofsky put out, and that also has Mickey Rourke in it. It has and Ernest the Cat Miller playing the Ayatollah, a.k.a. Bob the used car dealer, which I always have a soft spot for that. Let's see. The Sheik, the documentary on the Iron Sheik. The one and only with Henry Winkler, the Fonz, playing a professional wrestler in the 1950s. It's I know Raven says it's one of his favorite movies, so if that helps you with anything. So that just gives you a starting point. 515-605-9345. Get on the line. Get on the air, and tell you what, we will be back, and we will return with more of Making the List right here on PW Torch Livecast, so stay tuned.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Livecast with Bruce Mitchell here, I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
We're back with more of Making the List, Episode 8, here on PW Torch Livecast. The number is 515-605-9345, live here on the program, and we are looking over Episode 8 is the 7 greatest professional wrestling movies of all time, And it includes lots of possibilities. It includes the Matthew Modine classic Vision Quest, which probably best known for Madonna putting out a number one song from that movie than it is for the actual movie. But it passed muster. It was okay. Let's see, Paradise Alley with Sylvester Stallone. I can't remember whether I saw it or not. I definitely didn't see Night in the City, which is a 1950 movie, which prominently features professional wrestling, or All the Marbles, starring Peter Falk as the manager of a women's tag team. But really, we want to hear from you at 515-605-9345. We check our emails and our telephone messages. And I think we had a message via Twitter that I want to get into, so let's get back to that. We did have a Twitter message. It is about hold on. Let me just play that before we start anything. Thank you. The Twitter message is about WCW's real audio coverage of Halloween Havoc 1996. It has absolutely nothing to do, by the way, with 1996. It has absolutely nothing to do with the topic of today's show, but the question is, did it work? Did people actually get to listen to Halloween Havoc over the internet for a discounted price? And I believe the answer is yes, they did. And no, I don't think the audio went all that well. Audio was kind of hard to do 22 years ago on the internet. And sometimes we even have podcasts to this day where there's technical difficulties. I know that's hard to believe, but it perhaps did not go as well as one would think. But hey, thanks for asking. All right, let's see what we have here. I suppose we could try to call PJ again. I don't think he'll mind. Let's see. Well, he might mind. All right, I just the numbers I have for him didn't work. So if anybody else wants to call in, that would be great at 515-605-9345. Let's talk about the other classic, Nacho Libre. It's a movie very loosely based on a priest who moonlighted as a professional wrestler, and loosely is probably the best way to put it. It's very silly. Well, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it wasn't really bad, and I guess that's the best thing you can say about some of these movies, because let's face it, No Way, No Holds Barred, bad. Ready to Rumble, bad, except for a section of the movie where I think it's Martin Landau embarrassing Sid and Perry Saturn. Actually, you know what? That's bad too. Now that I mention it, yeah, this is actually none of this is. Yeah, it's not very good. Okay, let's see here. I'm trying to find somebody to call in, but you can call in now. This is live on the air at 515-605-9345. Let's see what we have here. So let's see if I can bring in somebody to the program who can help. Hold on a moment. Let's see if there's somebody. Try to see if we can do an effects in video chat. Nope, I can't hear. Okay, I'm trying to phone a friend for help with this program, and I'm sure people will respect that. Hello. Hello, are you there? Yeah. Would you mind calling into the podcast? 515-605-9345. Yeah, we're sort of missing a guest here. I know the listeners love surprises. This is definitely going to be a surprise. 605-9345. Yes, that's how you reach us, right here on PW Torch Livecast, and this is going to be quite the topic here. Okay, and we'll get started in full effect in just a moment. Let's see, we've already started. We really need to narrow these down here because we've got the Sheik, we've got I Like to Hurt People, we've got Chokeslam, a movie that came out a couple years ago. It's Canadian. There are a couple of wrestlers in it. I've never seen it. I hadn't even heard of it before I started researching the topic, but there it is. And that's one. There's apparently a Bollywood movie that deals with wrestling, at least on the amateur level, that we need to get to. Let's see. So hopefully we'll let's see, we'll get some good content in here in just a moment. And yeah, it's been quite a day here. I'll tell you about that. We also, if time permitting, we might talk a little bit about what's coming up at WrestleMania, because you know, WrestleMania seems to have gone off the rails, at least in the past 7 days, where we had a show in Detroit last night, and Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar were advertised, and no, they did not show up. And it looks like Ronda Rousey is not going to show up for the other WrestleManias the other Raws between now and WrestleMania, even though that's what was promised to us. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to understand, I'll say. Let's see. So, okay, we've got that going here. Oh, jeez. Yeah, the 96 Halloween Havoc. Oh, my God. It was Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage that we were talking about on real audio. And let's see. Yeah, I mean, they were testing real audio here. Let's just see. Should I go ahead and try this? I'm going to go to the 206 area code, even though I might end up regretting it here. Let's see. 206, please state your name and town. You're on Making a List. Hello.
Oh, you regret it all right, Pat. It's Jim Valley.
Yes, it is Jim Valley. Yay, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Valley's back after saving democracy over the past few weeks in the state of Washington, which we all appreciate it. So the guest didn't show up, Jim. And the topic today is we're making our list of the 7 greatest professional wrestling movies of all time. And for some reason, I thought you'd be an appropriate person to talk to about this.
Okay, so since I'm coming in late to this, is it movies where the topic is where the subject is wrestling, or just movies with wrestlers? Does it have to be? It has to be about wrestling.
That's, you know, on the lists online are kind of flexible with it. I think it has to be movie length. Documentaries can be included. I feel uncomfortable with Rocky III being on the list since it's not really a wrestling movie. So, yeah, I think wrestling has to be. I think it has to be, you know, a wrestling movie. The one and only with Henry Winkler, considered a wrestling movie, even though, you know,
and
parts
awesome.
Of the talk about. Yes.
Oh my God, it's a awesome movie. That is, if you've never seen it, it's tremendous.
Something. Yes. Yes, the pro wrestling segments in there, just fantastic. It's the Fonz
Roddy
as
Piper
a pro wrestler. Yeah, that's true.
Roddy Piper is in a brief scene before he gets hit in the face with a German helmet.
Hmm. It's New York City in the 1950s.
But let's do this. Let me you know now you've keyed my mind in on the one and only. So I mean it's like what 1977, 78. So
came
Henry
out in 78.
Winkler, yeah, is like near the peak of his popularity for being Fonzie on Happy Days, and he's trying to get into major motion pictures, and as we all know, that didn't really work out. But you know, this was, from my understanding, was supposed to be about a licensed movie about Gorgeous George, and they never were able to secure the approval from the state, is my understanding. And so it's similar, you know, he becomes a Gorgeous George like character at the end, but it's a fun movie. I enjoyed it a lot. So if you've never seen The One and Only, I would encourage people to see it. I think it's great. And like, you know, they filmed it obviously in Hollywood in California. So Piper, who was in Hollywood wrestling in Los Angeles at the time, makes a brief appearance as this Henry Winkler character tries to find himself. He goes through a lot of different personas, and one of them is a Nazi. And Roddy Piper is right. This young rookie and gets hit in the head with a Nazi war helmet because he's playing a German.
Yeah, that's not the only character that the Fonz gets to play, but yeah. And another movie, Hard Boiled Haggerty was in.
Yes. Hard Boiled Haggerty was in so many
everything.
Movies. And even if you don't know the name Hard Boiled Haggerty, you know the face, the bald head and the curled up mustache. Hard Boiled Haggerty is, maybe a legend who doesn't get enough credit.
Okay. Now, we already had a Right had one vote for Grunt, the wrestling movie. Grunt, of course, is the story of the mad dog, Joe DiCurso, who accidentally decapitates an opponent in the ring and allegedly comes back. It's as a documentary, allegedly comes back as a masked wrestler. And it's...
I feel like I've seen that one, but I don't remember.
It's pretty not good. It's really bad. Anyway, he is the mask, and he takes on such legends as Dan Spivey playing American Starship Eagle, Exotic Alien Street, John Tolos is there, Dick Murdoch. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, this was awful. Oh, is Wally George in this?
I think, I think he might be in that.
Yeah, Wally George was a popular confrontational talk show host, and he sort of preceded
in the LA area,
Norton Downey Jr., and all of those kind of fake TV shows that we see today. He was kind of the forefather of all of those. Yeah, I don't know that I ever watched Grunt. I think I recognized that it was terrible. I mean, if you're talking about movies based on wrestling, maybe with the exception of the documentaries, a lot of these are just awful, just terrible.
Yes, which is why it's so much fun to talk about them.
Yes.
All right, but we mentioned The Wrestler, the 2008 version, not the Ed Asner version from 1974.
I think if you're putting together a list, I think that probably, in my opinion, is the sandwich on the list. If you're talking about dramatic movies, I think number one probably is The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, and maybe the one that starts the bottom is The Wrestler with Ed Asner. I think that's kind of just the list sandwich, in my opinion.
Okay, The Wrestler with Ed Asner, it's basically a bunch of pro wrestling cameos sort of stitched together into a plot. Is one way to describe
it.
I know that Wade Keller and Bruce Mitchell did their own watch along of this movie some years ago, and it's basically a tribute to Vern Gagne as a movie, because the Ed Asner character is playing sort of a Vern Gagne promoter, and I think there's Vern Gagne playing the wrestler star of the movie.
Yeah, it's very much a love letter to Vern himself. It's Vern's love letter to himself. It's very it's Vern just kind of pleasing himself, shall we say.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way to describe it. All right. If you go to the documentaries, you have Beyond the Mat, you have Wrestling with Shadows, you have the Ric Flair 30 for 30.
Does the 30 for 30 count?
I think it's long enough to be a feature length film, isn't it?
I don't know that it counts, because I think you have to have some sort of theatrical release. I don't know. In my mind, that one doesn't count.
So direct-to-video doesn't count.
Well, did it go direct-to-video? I don't know.
Tommy went directly to ESPN.
Right, but that was because it was an ESPN show. I don't know. I don't think that counts, in my opinion. But it's your show.
We'll mention it.
Oh, my God.
For the same reason. What's that?
Go ahead. I've got something. I'm just freaking out here. That's all. Never mind me.
Okay, and for the same reason, Jim, I'm kind of against doing, the Andy Kaufman I'm from Hollywood, which I think is, I don't think it had a theatrical release, and I think it was basically an hour TV special. And again, didn't have much of a plot.
But it's a great way to show how everything played out. Yeah, my initial reaction was no, that one counts. But now that I think about it more, yeah, I'll tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with you on that.
Okay. Let me see. Now, of course, you have we looked at a lot of. We talked briefly about Nacho Libre. That actually did have a plot. It wasn't it wasn't a genius plot. And I mean, if you could buy Jack Black as a seminarian, I suppose it's no worse than what we see on television three times a week. But I don't.
Fan.
Yeah. You're not. Yeah.
I'm not a fan. And I find the movie to be very slow, and I find the movie to be not particularly funny. It's neither sweet nor funny. It's just kind of there. And considering it's based on, you know, a real life story, I feel like you could do something more with it. I don't know. I wasn't a fan. I was really disappointed in Nacho Libre. I'm not a big fan. It's kind of boring. I find I kind of be very, very vanilla. And, you know, I like lucha wrestling, and I like lucha masks. And every time my wife go to Mexico, we always try to look at the shops and stuff. And people always bring up Nacho Libre, and I just kind of roll my eyes. But I get that that's sort of what when people on vacation think of Lucha Libre in Mexico, Nacho Libre is what comes to mind. And I just wasn't a fan. I'd love to really like the movie. I had high hopes, but again, not a fan.
Okay, but I'm going to say this, definitely not the worst wrestling movie of all time.
No, it's not. But I think it could have been better. I'm looking your Wikipedia, I got to talk about one of my favorites from when I was a kid. You know, when cable TV was in its heyday, and I saw this movie, I don't know how many times, All the Marbles with Peter Falk. Which is an amazing movie. And in all honesty, this movie literally captures, and I think probably unintentionally, the boring lives of territorial wrestlers. You have Peter Falk as a manager of these two beautiful women, and he markets them as a tag team, and the movie follows their rise in wrestling as they work their way up to fight for the big championship title tag team match. And, you know, it shows the women in cars driving. It shows the women waiting around a lot. And it sort of shows that isolated lifestyle that wrestlers lead probably even today. But I think it's a great movie. All the Marbles definitely is on my list.
Okay. And a lot of Mildred Burke was the trainer of the lady wrestlers, and also featured prominently in the movie, playing himself, pro football legend Mean Joe Green. So
yeah, he was in a lot of movies.
Yep. Well, there we go. But yeah, it didn't. It wasn't exactly box office gold. It's remembered fondly, though. According to Wikipedia, it did better overseas than it did in America.
It's a fun movie. If you've never seen that, I would highly recommend watching All the Marbles. There are times when the script treats wrestling as a work, and there are times when it's kind of light as a work. They treat it mostly as a shoot, pro wrestling, but, you know, it's never insulting to the audience if you like wrestling. But I really liked All the Marbles. I thought it was a fun movie.
Okay, well, on that note, we are due for a brief timeout. We will come back. We have a lot more to talk about as we give you the very best of professional wrestling on cinema. This is Making the List right here on PW Torch Livecast.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, page two. We have talked, a lot of wrestling podcasts are searching for that perfect shave. Jim Valley, you know about that. Wrestling podcasts all over the world are searching for that perfect shave, you know, where, you know, cost-effective, good close shave, comfortable glide, high-quality blades. And we think that we found it here at PW Torch Livecast because we are in partnership with Harry's. Harry's is first founded by Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who are not named Harry. They were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, and they created their own factory and started Harry's to fix shaving. I know what you're saying, Jim. Fix shaving? I didn't know it was broken. Right? Yes. But anyway, a good shave comes from good blades. Harry's owns the factory. They're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the department store or the drugstore. And all their products come with a 100% quality guarantee. As a matter of fact, Harry's is so confident that our listeners are going to love their blades, they're going to send you a trial shave set for free when you sign up right now at harrys.com/pwtorch. You do have to, it is a $16 value. You do have to pay the $3 for shipping, but you get your free trial offer, which free trial set including a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, mine came in aloe vera, and a travel blade cover. And you can also visit that website and find out about getting high quality razor blades delivered to your door every week, or every month, actually. So if you want to claim your free trial offer from Harry's today, a $13 value for free, when you sign up, just covering shipping, just go to harrys.com/pwtorch. That's harrys.com/pwtorch, and get the best shave known to man. All right, we're back. We're making the list here on PW Torch Livecast. I'm Pat McNeil. Jim Valley is back. Jim has very graciously offered to fill in at the last minute, actually beyond the last minute, as we go over our top 7 pro wrestling movies of all time, trying to combine Oscar season and WrestleMania season into one, Jim.
And not surprisingly, only one of these movies has ever come close to being an Oscar movie, and that was the Wrestler.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to say Body Slam.
Yeah, you know, that movie is terrible as well. That was a sort of a cult classic, and, you know, when that was really sort of the, in 1985, you know, the first WrestleMania, and wrestling as a fad was really at its peak, and so it only made sense to do a movie. I guess the only thing that's interesting about that movie is that the Barbarian actually speaks in the movie, and he'd been sort of a silent, you know, savage style wrestler before then, and, you know, he actually talks, so, you know, breaks kayfabe a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. The Barbarian and
the Tonga Kid, Roddy Piper.
Oh, Tejo Khan was the other member of the Cannibals. That's right.
That's right. Yes, it was the Cannibal Brothers. Is that what it was?
Yeah, the Cannibal Brothers, and who are of course managed by Captain Lou Morano.
Yeah, they really went to a lot of effort to change some of the names. But Roddy Piper and Tonga Kid, I believe, are a tag team. Tonga Tom and Rick something or other, I forget.
Tonga Tom and Quick Rick Roberts. That's right.
There it is.
Yes.
If you want to be a completionist and watch it, it's not good, but, you know, it's something to see as far as, you know, Hollywood trying to capitalize on the wrestling fad of the 1980s when it was really at its peak.
And of course, playing the love interest, it was Tanya Roberts as Candace VanderVagen.
Oh, God. Tanya Roberts was the B-movie queen of the 80s. She was one of the last Charlie's Angels. I think she might have been the last one when the show was really on life support, and she came in as the last one, and she made so many direct-to-video, B, C, D-level movies. I had a friend who was breaking into Hollywood, and he
was
worked
the name
on a
Johnny
lot
Fairplay?
Of her movies. No, he was actually successful.
Oh, okay. There we go. Different friend. Yes, I had to get that in. That film directed by Hal Needham, and you know Hal Needham is a quality director because he directed Cannonball Run 1 and Cannonball Run 2.
What more could you want?
Also featured in the film, Ric Flair, Classy Freddie Blassie, Adnan Al-Casey, Bruno Sammartino, Charles Nelson Reilly, Billy Barty, and John Astin, a.k.a. Gomez Adams.
Yeah, you know that there's nothing says B-movie like Charles Nelson Reilly or Rip Taylor.
That's, oh, yeah. Oh, God. That's true. I'm sorry. I do want to mention
here. Go ahead.
I did want to mention another well-known movie from the 1980s, which involved pro wrestling, which we have not covered on our VIP show, Way Back Playback. This film is called No Holds Barred, and it is Hulk Hogan as I want to say the guy's name was Rip Roarer, the WWF champion, taking on the evil Zeus, and it was really bad.
You know, I didn't understand that it was all about Ted Turner and fighting Ted Turner at the time. That was lost on me when it when it came out in theaters.
Yeah, that's true. It was probably lost on a lot of people. It was the decision to take Hulk Hogan and make an R-rated movie with him, which was just an awful movie on top of that. Oh, PG-13, excuse me.
Yeah, PG-13.
According to this, is PG-13. It was just bad though. It was you know. I don't know that the little Hulkamaniacs got a lot out of it.
I think that Vince really sort of took a hand and was very influential in the movie and probably steered it in those terrible directions.
That's true because one of the rumors from WWE Studios is that he was very involved in rewriting the script of the movie The Condemned, starring Steve Austin, and if he has the habit of doing that with WWE films, that probably explains a lot, I suppose. But also in that movie, Jeep Swenson, Joe LeDuc, Pete Doherty, of course. You can't have a movie without Pete Doherty. I want to say Stan Hansen's in there.
Stan Hansen, of course, stole the movie.
Oh, yeah. Joey Morella, yeah. Jesse Ventura, Gene Okerlund, Bill Eadie, I think, is in there.
But Stan Hansen stole the movie in the beginning and talking about the teeny weeny.
That's right. Well, that's just what Stan Hansen does.
Classic strength, Stan Hansen.
Okay, so 515-605-9345 if you're listening and you want to chime in on this. I don't think either of those two movies make the list, though.
I think, No Holds Barred, probably one of the more famous wrestling movies, but again, terrible. There's a great movie. Actually, as I look at this Wikipedia list, I don't know that I consider it a wrestling movie. It's actually a boxing movie, Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Okay, well, apparently
is
there
a
is a
classic movie.
Yeah, there's a wrestling connection in there.
Yes.
Let's see. I mean, I wrote it down because it was on the Wikipedia list. But, It's about a boxer who ends down on his luck boxer who ends up becoming a wrestler, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's really sad at the end.
Yes, and it's played by Jack Palance.
Yeah, it's really sad. And it really sort of gives you the idea of the way that wrestling.
Oh, that
was
the TV version.
Seen.
Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. But the movie. The way, in the end he gives up and becomes a wrestler. And for some reason, everyone knows him as a famous wrestler, but for some reason, rather his wrestling persona at the end, he embraces being an Indian character. And he's got the headdress and I believe a tomahawk and everything. And in the end of the movie, it's him doing, the Indian war cry, the woo-woo-woo-woo kind of thing,
right.
Very stereotypical for the era. But, it's sort of him sort of embracing his fall from grace. And, it's a sad movie. But, again, I see it more as a boxing movie than a wrestling movie. But, again, it's a classic movie. It's definitely one to see even if you're a film fan, let alone a wrestling fan.
Yeah, and then in the end, it's Anthony Quinn entering the ring to take on Haystacks Calhoun.
Yeah, and, again, Anthony Quinn, he's for some reason, again, everyone knows him as a boxer, but he's dressed as an Indian character, which doesn't make sense to me, but okay, whatever.
No, it makes perfect sense, I mean, maybe Vince McMahon was a promoter.
You never know.
Who knows? That's true. All right, 515-605-9345. One movie with a wrestling tie-in, a heavy one, Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman story starring Jim Carrey. A lot, they're there are a couple segments with Andy Kaufman's feud with Jerry Lawler, which for documentary purposes, probably halfway accurate, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie, so I mean, they're always going to take liberties. Whenever it's a scripted movie, even if it's a historical character, you really have to always take it with a grain of salt.
Right. Okay, and let's, yeah, that was,
Did you ever see My Breakfast with Blassie? The Andy Kaufman movie with Freddie Blassie? It's long and awkward.
Okay.
If you're really into, and I loved Andy Kaufman. I loved all of Andy
Kaufman's like,
stuff.
It's much like my live cast then. Okay.
Maybe worse. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, it's literally Freddie Blassie and Andy Kaufman sitting down and talking at this table while they're eating, and it's a takeoff right. of a famous movie at the time, which an Oscar winner, as a matter of fact, very critically acclaimed, called My Dinner with Andre, and not Andre the Giant, but anyway. They just talk a lot, and Blassie's in character the whole time, and I don't know. I mean, you could watch it if you're a Blassie fan, and even though I'm a Kaufman fan, I didn't think it was particularly good. It's not my favorite.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's fair. All right. Tell you what, we're due for a timeout here. We're going to come back. And we're going to stack. I think we got number one and number seven, and we're just going to fill in all the blanks between two and six. And we'll talk some more, and we'll take your calls at 515-605-9345 if that's your thing. This is Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast. So don't touch that dial, kids.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conference and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn, go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
And we're back with more of Making the List right here on PW Torch Livecast, the number 515-605-9345. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined by Torch audio host and legendary pro wrestling personality Jim Valley, who does a number of podcasts, including even ones not affiliated with the Torch. But we do have the Wayback Playback Show. If you're a PW Torch VIP member, and you absolutely should be, this one drops every Sunday, and hopefully we're going to have Jim back with us for at least a few more weeks while the business of saving the world calms down a bit.
Speaking of podcasts, one of them I do is for the Cauliflower Alley Club, which is a nonprofit that helps out older and down on your luck pro wrestlers, and it goes back, over 50 years to the days of Hollywood and Mike Mazurki and Lou Fez and Red Bastien. And it used to be a club with boxers and wrestlers and actors. And it's kind of morphed over the years where now fans can be involved. And you can join and become a member. It's only $25 a year. And they do their annual reunion, which is coming up at the end of April, the beginning of May in Las Vegas. And this year they're honoring Harlem Heat. They're honoring Steve Kern. And get this, they're honoring Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is going to be there. Tickets are going fast, and you can go to CauliflowerAlleyClub.org to check it out. And I do a podcast with them, and my partner MK and I are going to be interviewing Steve Kern tonight. We're going to talk about the Fabulous Ones, obviously, and he's trained like about a million wrestlers. And, you know, he had quite the career, you know, from starting out with Eddie Graham in Florida, where it's very serious wrestling, to Memphis, obviously, and then the Fabulous Ones. And he was Doink, of course, at WrestleMania 9. He was Skinner. So he's had quite a career. So this should be good. So you can check it out at CauliflowerAlleyClub.org.
Jim, you're not going to believe who's standing by on the line. Well, actually, I'll let him introduce himself. Go ahead, mystery caller from the 203 area code. Hello. Who are you, sir?
Hey, it is late, but better late than never, PJ Polacco, just incredible. Just so you know, there is a perfectly good excuse. I was late getting out of my doctor's office, and I had no choice, and it's not like it's an important appointment. I couldn't be like, I got to, you know, do this thing. So anyways, I'm here, and I'm so sorry, guys. I apologize.
Okay. Well, Jim Bally is here. You know Jim. Jim, say hi to Justin Credible.
Hey, man, I'm glad you could make it.
Yes. Hey, now, one of the reasons we're here. We're doing the top seven pro wrestling movies of all time, but we wanted to get an update from you on the documentary of your career and your comeback.
Yeah, the documentary is called Credible. It's not about the. You know, it plays off of the character Just Incredible, but it means of credibility. It's a story of my life and journey, not only in pro wrestling, but in life. It's about, literally, it's credible recovery, redemption. And that's really what it's about. And, I've been going through struggles with addiction on and off for the better part of 15 years now. A lot of sober time and a lot of not so sober time. So, we're still in production, so it's not like we have this narrative where we have an ending, because hopefully my life isn't ending anytime soon, but trying to find what that redemption is, what that means for me. And it's a really interesting movie. It's very well done. David Gere, who executive produced many movies, is working on something now with Martin Scorsese. I mean, he's done a lot of films with Kevin Nash, Diamond Dallas Page, Vincent Pastore, Tom Sizemore. I mean, you name it, this guy's been around. So I'm very excited, and really, it's going to be cool, and I'm just looking forward to completing it and really having the world look at it. And it's compelling. It's almost somebody told me it's really the real life tale of the movie The Wrestler, which was a fictional tale, but it really has a lot of feel to it, because although I had many breaks in wrestling, I never made millions of dollars. I had the privilege of calling it my career, but it's just an interesting tale of what happens to somebody at 44 years old, really semi-retired, and kind of trying to get sober and to find, life after wrestling. And what is life after wrestling? Is there life after wrestling? So that's it in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, the answer, of course, is God, I hope so. The question I would have to ask is, as the subject of this documentary, I mean, is it, how weird is it getting your life, picked apart for a documentary? There's a lot of good to talk about, but like you mentioned, there's some bad spots.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's not cool sometimes to look at yourself, because a lot of the stuff I turned a blind eye to, and I still do, you know, I don't like to look at the ugly, because, you know, us in recovery, we tend to beat ourselves up a lot, and I'm going to spare you guys the recovery talk. But okay. We really do tend to beat each other, ourselves up, because we are so sorry for what we have caused, both mostly to mm-hmm. ourselves and to our family members and our loved ones. But it doesn't stop the disease from, you know, doing it again and again. Sometimes that's why we continue to do it. I mean, it's like our, you know, our minds are our worst prisons. You know, we just want to shut off the insanity that goes on in between your head. You know, you want that relief of, God, I screwed this one, or I really could have, you know, what if I'd done this differently? And through all that regret, sometimes you medicate more. It's a vicious cycle, but you know, it's very hard to stomach and to watch myself, because I never liked to watch myself on camera, any of my matches and stuff, because always overly critical. So it's a bit uncomfortable, to say the least.
Okay, Jim, you have.
You know, I just want to say, you know, briefly, you know, my dad died at 48 from alcoholism, and you know, back then. You know, he's a very successful lawyer, a pillar of the community. So, I mean, it can hit anyone. And unfortunately, back then, you know, what Justin is dealing with and what many people were dealing with was, you know, considered a lack of character and a lack of trying,
sure.
as opposed to
sure.
the disease it is. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, people have changed the mentality on that, and, you know, that people understand that it is a disease, and it's a daily thing that doesn't, you know, cure itself. And, you know, where my dad couldn't get help, you know, I'm glad that people like Justin and people, you know, all around the world are dealing with it in the proper way. So I think that's great.
Yeah. Quick, you know, I'm sorry, but just real quick, it's not a battle of will. You can't will it away. That's where people misunderstand. You know, it's not like, you know, these guys are just weak people. It really, if you believe in the disease concept, it is a disease. It may be a mental health issue, but it is a disease. So, you know, 1 in 10 people will face or know someone in their lives with an addiction issue. So, yeah, anyways, so thank you very much for saying that.
Well, yeah, I'm Irish Catholic on both sides of my family. So in my case, it's probably more than 1 in 10. But, yeah, I definitely, definitely understand and, yeah. And it does happen to people, you know, and it's not just it's not as easy as you think. It's not like changing your diet, although changing your diet is no fun either. The question with a project like that is, you know, it is kind of open ended. How will you know when you've got that? I mean, in life, you know, especially with addiction, how do you know when you have that happy ending that you're looking for? I mean,
you
in the movie.
You're never going to have that happy ending. It's sort of we're looking for, and I think we've nailed it down, and I'm not going to give anything away, but I think we have a good idea of how to end it, and you know, the finishing shot, of course, you know, we have an idea of what it will be, but when it's reached a certain point, it's like it almost will be like he's off to another, you know, off into his other journey, whatever that may be, and hopefully he'll be all right. And but it will leave that, you know, that question mark of I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't think any addict or alcoholic would dare make a bold statement saying that they know, because we're taught to just worry about today. I mean, Brian James, Road Dog, him and I speak all the time. And, I mean, he grounds me sometimes and says, you know, never take today for granted, because we don't know tomorrow if, you know, it's so easy. I thought, because I was an opiate addict at first and I conquered that addiction 5 years ago, I thought, you know, after being sober for a couple of years, I could have the casual drink. And I did for a long time. But that one turned into more than one, and it progressed over time. But then I became a full-blown alcoholic because of its accessibility and culturally accepted. And so it's, you know, it's really, it's about the behavior, and really it becomes, for me, it became about not liking who I was. I just always wanted to change my state because my mind, I just was unhappy. My wrestling career was over. You know, realistically speaking, because there's, you know, as an active wrestler, there was nowhere to work, for whatever reasons, for me, age, my standing in the business at the time, and so on. So it's really a lot of it, like I said, mental health issue of depression and unhappiness. So yeah, it's a bunch of things, but it's so easy to get caught up in having a drink or two and then liking it and finding out that you're drinking more than you should, which a lot of wives and, you know, like you said, lawyers, you know, respected people, pillars of the community, yeah. It affects, you know. So I don't want to drag this whole thing down on substance, but it's amazing because it hits a lot of entertainers of all facets and sports people a lot, because we do face so much time on the road, so much time alone, and so many highs and so many lows. Those rock and roll videos where you'd see, you know, the guys on tour and always staring at the bottom of a bottle. I mean, because a lot of it is the ups and downs, and that's how people unfortunately deal with a lot of it. So, yeah.
Right. Okay, now getting back to why one of the reasons we invited you here in the first place, the top seven pro wrestling movies of all time. Jim and I have gone over them, and we include documentaries in them, but I am very curious as to your thoughts.
Wow. Best wrestling movies. I never really, you know, what was the one with Hulk and Zeus?
That would be No Holds Barred.
What was that one?
PJ?
No Holds Barred, yeah. I mean, that has to be one of the more publicized ones. Ready to Rumble was probably one of the better ones, other than documentaries. As far as entertainment, because I thought it was so bad that it was funny, and I saw a lot of my friends in it. But the best wrestling movie was probably Bret Hart's Wrestling with Shadows. I really enjoyed that.
That was a good one.
That was my favorite, and then of course Beyond the Mat, which is probably my second favorite, only because I was in the DVD version bonus features, and I do have a credit on that film, so that was my film debut. So Beyond the Mat was eye-opening for a lot of people.
Okay, so that's a couple of good ones, I think, right there.
I Like to Hurt People as well. That was an old school one.
The Sheik.
It's sort of, brother, that was a scary movie. I used to, you know what? It amazed me because as a kid, I would always see that at the back of the, you know, the video store, the wrestling section, and there was so few of them. And I was scared to death to just rent it, much less watch it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Sheik, even Sabu, being that he was trained by the Sheik and got a lot of his ways from the Sheik, Sabu to this day, man, he's one of those guys that if you didn't know Terry, he works his gimmick. He believes the gimmick. And if it were not for the internet age, he still would have one of the most believable gimmicks in pro wrestling, or at least of the time. I mean, you know, everything changes and evolves. But when he came out of an ECW and that board, you know, that stretcher tied to that stretcher with the Hannibal Lecter mask, I mean, you know, that was intense stuff. So that's another movie that always was, you know, kind of cheesy the way they made it, but well done.
Yep.
It's weird where it's scripted, but kind of a documentary. It's kind of both.
Yeah.
It's kind of this weird scripted / documentary hybrid.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely it was interesting. I mean, you know, and back then, like I said, it was you didn't know what to believe in those days. Yeah. You know, you knew it wasn't 100% real, but it could be. You know, it was that danger to it as a kid, at least, you thought, you know.
That's it. There's, I mean, you got that going on. You've got Heather Feather.
Heather Feather.
Oh, yes.
I have no idea what that is. I was almost going to go somewhere I shouldn't. That sounds like
it's one of these subplots. She's a female wrestler who wants to wrestle men.
Oh, okay. Now, is this a complete fictional thing?
It's unclear, I think, would be a fair statement. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just as they interviewed one of the people from the Stop the Sheik Society, and playing the member of the Stop the Sheik Society is the Sheik's wife. So.
Yes. Okay. Well,
so maybe
right
not
there.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
not on the
completely
up and up there.
Perhaps they might have went off script a little bit. I don't know.
A little
or
bit,
on script.
A little bit. Hell, I don't even know if my life's real. So tell me when I get there.
Okay. But yeah, that's a quality film. We can probably stick that on there. So we only need a couple more, really.
I'm gonna Google. In the world of Google, man, that should be like a Google thing. Like, you know.
No, it is. It is.
I swear to God. Let me Google this here.
While you're Googling, I have come up with my list. Pat.
Okay.
Here's my criteria. My criteria is not one of the best ones for me, but I was like, if I'm at home and it's, say, like a rainy Saturday or Sunday afternoon, what would I want to watch?
Right.
And that's what I'm basing it on.
Well, now that I got the info in front of me, I actually got some interesting ones that I totally forgot. There is a movie that I did not know about, which now I'm going to have to see on principle, called The Wrestler, the similar one to Mickey Rourke's, but circa 1974.
Yeah.
Have you guys spoken about that one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
Vern Gagne
made that movie.
Oh, that's the Vern movie, okay.
Yeah, Vern.
Okay.
You got Billy Robinson. You got Dusty. Yeah, I mean everybody. Yeah.
And how about a lot of those? And they don't say these here, but a lot of those old Mexican movies. Those were some really.
El Santo. Okay.
Mexican culture was so huge that like a lot of their wrestlers were big time movie stars, if I'm not mistaken, like El Santo and I mean many others. Mil Máscaras, I'm sure, had made a couple of movies.
Blue Damon.
No Holds Barred.
Blue Damon,
it's always there.
Right.
Blood Circus, which is the movie that my friend made, that the gentleman's making my movie, but that's MMA. No, but it says here it isn't. It was in 85. Well, that's a different movie altogether. I'm trying to find but they have other I Like to Hurt People, of course.
Of course
Mr.
They
Nanny,
yeah.
The Resurrection of Jake.
Okay, I think we can pass on Mr. The Jake Roberts documentary. That's actually a good choice, I'd say. Jim?
Oh, and there's how about this one? Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. I never heard of
that.
That
is a movie that was made. Yes.
Oh wow! Where the hell was I? I have no idea.
I don't know. I guess you weren't off filming it.
Ain't nobody telling you these things. Roddy Piper, Jim Duggan, Shane Douglas. Wow. I got heat.
They're fighting zombies, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd have fought a zombie. I'd have been a zombie. I'd have been anything.
All right.
I digress.
That's good.
Anyway.
Okay. We also had All the Marbles and Body Slam and The One and Only. A bunch of classics. And Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Body Slam. I never saw Body Slam.
Oh, dear. How is that possible?
Was it?
Jim, do you know how that's possible?
Was it that bad? I always saw I saw it always on video stores, like, you know, but I never actually, you know, because I came from a lower income blue collar family, and, you know, you'd only be able to rent one. And so I usually go for the big budget, then invest in a small time body. Yeah, it just wasn't doing it for me.
It's very cheesy. It's TV show quality.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right.
I have to give it a go.
Yeah, I think you should. Okay, so let's see. All right, so we got Requiem for The Wrestler, Wrestling with Shadows, Beyond the Mat, Requiem for a Heavyweight, I Like to Hurt People, the other movie, The Wrestler. So, Jim, the One and Only, All the Marbles, I'm thinking one of those.
There's my number one choice isn't on that list, and my number one choice... did have a limited release, but it was primarily video, but it was shown in theaters in the area. And for me, my favorite wrestling movie is Memphis Heat.
Memphis Heat. Oh, that's right.
which is the documentary about Memphis wrestling with Sputnik, with Jackie Fargo and Lawler and Jerry Jarrett.
Oh, wow.
And it's a fantastic movie. It really captures the flavor of Memphis, and it's really done in a style that is the way the movie was put together is, you know, really, like I said, captures the flavor and the style of Memphis wrestling. And so that is my number one choice for my favorite wrestling movie. And I think it could even be in the conversation for best, Memphis Heat.
Wow, that's really, really cool. I never heard of that. I'm going to have to definitely watch that. And it's funny, and I kind of am seeing another one that I don't know if you guys brought up, and it's kind of a parody on My Dinner with Andre. It's My Breakfast with Blassie with Andy Kaufman. Have you guys seen that one?
We did touch on that. Yeah.
Oh, you already commented on it? Okay.
I mean, it just probably wasn't good enough to crack the list, I don't think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman, I mean, God rest his soul, was a little weird. You either got him or you didn't, you know?
Yeah, I got Andy Kaufman, and even I was like, it's Blassie kind of in character the whole time. So it's like, you know, an hour plus of Andy asking questions and Blassie just kind of being Blassie, and that's kind of when you realize that Blassie is best in small doses.
Gotcha, yeah. Oh, my goodness, how about, there's this other one real quick, and it's about backyard, there's a movie about backyard wrestling.
Backyard Dogs, yeah.
Yeah, really, that's an actual thing, huh? I mean, I know backyard wrestling, but
yes,
that was an actual movie about that? Well, that must be a really bad movie.
The wild and colorful world of backyard wrestling provides the backdrop for this action comedy. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Cole and Lee are two close friends who love professional wrestling. Oh, God. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that was fantastic. Aren't you glad I came on for this? See, I added so much depth
and absolute
nonsense to what you guys were probably having a pretty good discussion, and then I just came in and kind of threw the proverbial monkey wrench.
Absolute nonsense is sort of our specialty. That's what we do. Very well. But let's see. Trying to think. Oh, Below the Belt. I've heard about this one. I kind of have to see it. It's an MGM limited edition release from the 80s. I'll give you the blurb here. Rosa Rubinsky is a natural at fending off unwanted sexual advances while working at a sports arena concession stand. So when she's discovered by promoter Bobby Fox, Rosa soon finds herself competing in the turbulent world of women's professional wrestling. Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a winner. She fought to live and lived to fight.
Yes.
That sounds like something.
Stuff,
I'm not sure what exactly, but definitely sounds like something.
Yeah, that's definitely something. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Very good.
Okay.
You know, the Glow documentary from a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's
really
right,
good.
Yeah.
The wrestling in Little Egypt put it together, the Glow wrestler to Little Egypt, and it talks about the history of Glow and has interviews, and then it sort of ends with a reunion that they did a couple of years ago at the Cauliflower Alley reunion in Las Vegas, and you get to see a lot of the wrestlers, and even you get to see Mountain Fiji, who passed away just, I think it was last year, earlier this year.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. That's too bad. Yeah, wow. That's interesting. It was definitely a niche little thing, you know? It was definitely had its moment, and you know, people still talk about it. I mean, I thought, you know, Globe in particular was a little too cheesy, but it certainly was interesting, you know? I mean, back then, they were hungry for anything wrestling, boy. I mean, if they had the technology and the people in the business then, you know, being able to feed them, God knows what would have been able to come out of that era, you know, if they had that, but go figure.
Okay, and of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this one, which apparently is available on DVD from the makers of Air Bud, Russell Madness. In this tail-wagging comedy adventure from the creators of Air Bud, a big-hearted terrier named Russell gets taken in by a family who owns a pro wrestling arena. That's when they discover their new pet has incredible wrestling skills, with help from a savvy and hilarious monkey. Russell rockets to the top of the sports world and discovers that the strongest tag team is family.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. And you know, another one from, if you don't mind this one real quick that I'm just getting now, too. And I remember this as a kid. Grunt, the wrestling movie?
Oh, yes. We discussed that at length, yes.
Oh, you did? Okay. See, that's what I get for coming in late.
Did you watch that one? Have you seen Grunt?
No. But now you've compelled me to watch all these.
Oh, my God. You're going to have a fun weekend.
Yeah, I really had no access to these other than, like I said, the video stores. And I was always, you know, I always went to either like, always trying to get a copy of the new releases or something from Coliseum Video, so I never went to those movies. I was dedicated to Vince McMahon's brand of sports entertainment. Yeah, I know. I'm going to check them all out today. God, shows you a fun Tuesday for me. It's all your fault. Yes.
All right. Well, geez. And the resurrection of Jake the Snake. That's let's see. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
There's another good one from maybe, I don't know, the early 2000s on Japanese wrestling with Shigusa Nagaya, which is Gaia Girls, when they had the Gaia women's promotion in Japan. And it focuses a lot on the school and the training of the women. And how tough Shigusa Nagaya was on some of the trainees and stuff. So it focuses on kind of Shigusa Nagaya getting ready to, call it a career, and some of the girls coming up. And that's a pretty good movie. Gaia Girls is something worth checking out.
Oh, definitely will too. Wow.
All right.
Really good.
So I think we've got our seven here. Let's see. Okay, number 7, The Wrestler from 1974. Number 6, I Like to Hurt People. Number 5, Memphis Heat. Number 4, Requiem for a Heavyweight. Number 3, Beyond the Mat. Number 2, Wrestling with Shadows. Number 1, The Wrestler from 2008. Wow, we did it. Yo, Adrian, we did it. Okay, so you're going to keep us posted as to when Credible, the documentary, comes out, right, Justin?
I certainly will. Hopefully we'll be done with production within a couple of months, and we have something in line with major distributors like iTunes, Netflix, and the usual suspects. So, I will definitely, I'll be getting the news out there, and I'm sure I'll be speaking with you, Mr. McNeil, hopefully, if all goes well.
No, I think
I'm sure it'll be our new number one movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
Sure. Yeah, I really hope it will be one of the good ones, but I'm not going to hype it. Hopefully it will be a good movie, though. I have a good feeling.
That's good. Yeah, you got to let the film speak for itself. I think
that's all you can do.
And since people are listening, how can they keep tabs on the progress of the Credible documentary?
Well, there is a... my Twitter page at PJ Polacco, and there's an official Twitter page for the movie, the Credible Doc DOC, and CredibleDocumentary.com, and a Facebook one as well, Credible Documentary on Facebook. So all the mediums, you'll find updates and behind the scenes stuff as well. Definitely.
Okay. Just incredible. And, of course, we'll be hearing about what do you have cooking? Do you have anything cooking for WrestleMania weekend? Or?
I do not. No, it's the funniest thing. I never get invited to any of the conventions for WrestleMania weekend. It is a shame.
Okay.
Actually, I did one, and it was local in New York, so I didn't even get to travel. So, no, nobody likes me. I've prostituted myself through enough wrestling conventions that they've had enough of me.
All right, well... they're back in New York next year, probably. So,
that'll be my next one. That'll be my next one.
Right.
So.
Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, PJ and Jim Valley. You do lots of podcasts. How can people keep tabs on you and the Cauliflower, and not only your VIP podcast with me, but the Cauliflower Alley podcast and the Pacific Rim podcast you do elsewhere?
Yeah, with Fumi Saito, who's like the leading reporter in Japan and really kind of has his finger on the pulse of everything. He talks to everybody in Japan. When Chris Jericho made his announcement, Fumi was the guy that he talked to because they know each other from when Jericho was in Japan. But if you look up, you just do a search for Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast, That'll come up. You can find it on iTunes there. And again, go to CauliflowerAlleyClub.org, and you can find the Cauliflower Alley Radio there and learn all about Cauliflower Alley, which is an awesome nonprofit organization.
Okay, that's great, Jim, and I want to thank you for stepping in at the last minute here to save another podcast, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Making the List this week. Of course, new episode coming up next week, and in 2 weeks, Dave Prazak will be by, and I guess we'll be talking about women's wrestling, and VIP members can join us every Sunday as we do Way Back Playback. Speaking of which, this is the point of our program when we hear all about the wonderful offer of VIP membership here at PWTorch.com. So we're going to let our announcer guy do that. And we'll be back next week with another list. So join us.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Bye, Felicia.